Join me, please, now in the reading of the Scripture by turning in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, the 49th chapter. Turn in your Scofield Bible, page 757. We'll be reading four verses, responsively, verses 13 through 16. These four verses, verses 13 through 16 of the 49th chapter of Isaiah. And now that you've found the place, let's stand, all of us standing together for the reading of God's Word. May I point out, please, that the 16th verse is the text verse. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Let's pray. Father, bless the service, the preaching. And Father, the preaching is awfully important. And to hear the preaching and the preacher is mighty important too. And so we pray that your word would be honored and blessed, and may thy spirit impress upon us the very truths that we need this morning in this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning I'm going to speak on the subject, God has double vision. You know, I just can't wait till I get up here to preach every Sunday. I just love it. I wish you knew how much I like to preach. I got something here I can't wait for you to get. And did you ever cook a Thanksgiving dinner? I never did, thank God. But and you just can't wait for your family to get there because you think the turkey turned out better than it ever has before. I don't mean your husband. I say the turkey now. And you just can't wait for them to get to taste what you cook. I don't think I've ever enjoyed preaching like I enjoy it now. I've always enjoyed it. My soul, I've always enjoyed it. And I don't think I've ever enjoyed in my ministry preaching as much as I do in the passing of every day. I enjoy it more. And I'll tell you what. I think that God has improved on this book some. I see more things in this book than I ever saw before. I delight in it more than I ever delighted before. And this morning, I got something I can't wait to tell you. You say, what you got? Some good news? That's what this whole book is good news. But I just want to grab every one of you, every stinking one of you. Nose will smell good. I want to grab you too. And I want to say, listen to me. I want you to listen to what I've got to say. Because I got some good stuff to tell you this morning. And so, I want to talk to you on the subject, God has double vision. I think it's a wonderful truth. I'm not a great preacher, but I'll tell you, this is a wonderful truth, and I can't wait to give it to you. Father, bless the message. And I pray that everybody in this room will get it and rejoice in it and apply to it. I pray you bless us now, please. Amen. Last night, one of our good men was in my office, and he said, Brother Hiles, our preacher, he said, I've been watching some of the way you hire people and the way you choose people to work here. You see, we have now well over 500 people who are employed with the First Baptist Church of Hammond or its ministries. And I'll be honest with you. I just don't know 500 better people in the world. I just don't know. Of course, I don't know 500 other people in the world either. But you just go down the list of our staff here and the staffs at the high school, the grade school, the junior high, the college, and the youth department, all the ministers of our church, all of it. They're just not better people anywhere. And so I was talking with this member of the church last night, and he said, give me some guidelines the way you choose people. And I didn't put it this way, but this is the way, this is the summary of it. That is this: I try to have double vision. I try to see the man within the man. One time, a beggar was on a street corner, and a wealthy man came by, and the beggar rushed up and he said, "Hey, mister, could I beg, please? Now, I know I don't look like much, but poverty has left me this way, and sin has left me like this. And I know I'm not much, and I don't smell very good, and I don't look like very much. I'm not dressed very, very nicely, but he said, "Sir, I need you to help me, could you?" And then the fellow gave him some money, and the beggar said, "Hey, I wish you could have seen, I wish you could see the man I meant to be. The man I meant to be. I wish you could see the man that I meant to be." Now listen carefully. The Babylonian people have devastated the holy city. Palaces have been leveled. The altar has been destroyed. Homes have been completely demolished. The walls of the city, the wall around the city, has been torn down stone by stone until there's barely one stone left or another. God views this ruined city. And as God sees these crumpled walls, He makes this statement: "Thy walls are continually before me." Now listen carefully. "Thy walls are continually before me." See, God had double vision. God saw those walls that were destroyed, hardly one stone left on another. And yet God saw something else. God saw that wall rebuilt. And as He looked at that crumpled wall and that destroyed and ravaged city, God said, "Thy walls are ever before me." You see, God sees what you are, but God also sees what you can be. When God looks at you, He sees two people. He has double vision. God sees what you are, but He also sees the plan that He has for your life. I don't know any better news than that, than to think that the God of glory planned my life before it was born. I like something that's planned. I hate something not planned. I like to have a number that's rehearsed. I like to have a choir number that's rehearsed like we had this morning, and the special music that's been rehearsed. I've had Larry Bullard practicing that prayer for 3 days. He prayed a while ago. And you wouldn't believe it, would you? But anyway, I like something planned. And I especially like it when somebody plans something for me. I hold it now. I mean plan a service. I hate to walk into a service that's not planned. I like to know that somebody thought I was coming and somebody got ready for my coming. I love to see things planned. And it just makes me tingle all over when I stop to think that before I was ever born, God planned for my getting here. God planned it. And God had a plan for my life. And as God looks at an individual, He sees that individual, but He sees something else. He sees what that individual could be. He saw these crumpled walls, but He saw completed walls. He saw this ravaged city, but He saw a rebuilt city. And God looked down and saw that wall, hardly a stone upon a stone. And yet God said, "Thy walls are continually before me." God looks at a woman of shame this morning. A woman who has drugged her own conscience and has guilty of bending her own body and selling her own soul. And God says to her, and I love this, God says, "Thy purity is continually before me." God sees you in your adultery. God sees you in your lasciviousness. God sees you in your uncleanness. But God sees something beside you and your sin. God sees that you that He wants you to become. And God sees that you can
become because God has double vision. God looks this morning. He sees the timid freshman almost sucking his thumb as he stands in line to matriculate at Hiles Anderson College. And he sees you standing there in line, homesick and timid and shy. God sees you there, but God sees something else. God sees some of you young men standing behind a pulpit like I'm standing now, with the Bible open, like mine is open now, and God sees you as a mighty man of God someday, proclaiming the message of salvation and the message of hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God has double vision. God sees you as you are, but God sees you as you can be. And as God looked and saw this wall, He said, I see the wall, a crumbled wall, a broken wall, a ravaged city, a destroyed city. But God says, thy walls are ever, continually, before me. God sees the sot going down Skid Row, stumbling in the rescue mission, trying to find a cigarette butt on the street with a little tobacco left in it, and trying to find a bottle that has a little in the bottom, that he may add it to a bottle he had a while ago that had a little in the bottom, that he may add it to a bottle he found before had a little in the bottom. And God sees you with your health wrecked and your future blighted and your body diseased and your dreams broken and your air castle shattered. And God sees you, but God sees more than you. God sees more than a rescue mission, pardon your expression, bum. God sees more than that. God sees the you that you could be. And God sees the you that He's planned that you be. And that you that God sees, besides what you are now, by the grace of God you can become. These walls were rebuilt. These walls did stand again. These walls that man could not see, but that God could see. God saw them. God sees the wasted life. He sees that life wasted by ruin and sin. And God says, that usefulness is ever before me. God sees the thief, the dishonest, the embezzler. And God says, thy honesty is ever before me. God sees the poor child in the ghetto. And God, as He sees that child, He sees something else. He says, thy prosperity is ever before me. And this morning, you may not be what you ought to be. And you may not be what you wish you were. And you may not be what you used to be. But there is a you that I cannot see, and that you cannot see, that our God does see. And our God sees the drunkard and says, thy sobriety is ever before me. And God sees the harlot and says, thy purity is ever before me. And God sees the thief and says, thy honesty is ever before me. And God sees the useless and says, thy usefulness is ever before me. And God sees the mean and says, thy kindness is ever before me. There is not a person in this great crowd or sea of face this morning, but what God looks on you and sees what you are now. But God has a predesigned, designed by the Holy Spirit of God Himself, a plan for what you can become. I love that little statue I see across the country of a guy that's half cut out of a block. And you can't see any feet, you can't see any arms, all you can see is a half a face. And he says, don't criticize me, God ain't finished with me yet. And though I'm not what I ought to be, God ain't finished with me yet. God sees a me, and God wants me to become that me. And God sees you. You don't have to languish in your mediocrity. You don't have to wallow in your failure. There is another you that God sees this morning. And you can become that you by the grace and goodness of our God. A famous sculptor. And now I'm going to have to use some Southern Negro language. And there it is right there. And I'm not being bigoted. I'm just talking like the Southern Negroes used to talk. But a famous sculptor, his name was Borglund. He used to just take a block, and he'd, as sculptors do, and he'd chisel on it. And so one time he decided to take a block, and he took that block, and he chiseled out Abraham Lincoln. And so his his colored slave or servant, she saw that block, and then one day she saw Abraham Lincoln's face coming in that block. And she rushes in and she says, to her master, she says, "Am that Abraham Lincoln?" And the master said, "Yes, that's Abraham Lincoln." And she said, "How did Massa Borglund know that Abraham Lincoln was in that block?" I'll tell you how the master knew. He knew because when he looked at that block, he saw Abraham Lincoln in that block. And in you, every single one of you, you blockheads, every single one of you, God sees the block. But God sees inside that block. And God not only sees you, but He sees what you can be and what He's planned for you to be. Years ago, I was pastor of the Southside Baptist Church of Henderson, Texas. I mean, sometimes we'd have an offering as high as $100 a week. You wouldn't believe how rich we were. We had a custodian there named Mr. Roper. He was an old man, one of the sweetest old men I ever knew, but I don't know if he could read and write, but he was a great old man. He probably could, but he was a great guy and a custodian. Why, the fellow was filthy rich. We paid him $15 a week. He used to say to me, "Brother Jack, you won't be here long." And I said, "Mr. Roper, I plan to be here the rest of my life." And Mr. Roper would say, "Oh, Brother Jack," he said, "I don't see you standing behind this little pulpit." He said, "When I see you standing behind a great pulpit of a great church, a large church in some big city somewhere." And I said, "No, Mr. Roper, I'm going to be here the rest of my life." He said, "No, sir." He said, "Brother Jack, you don't know that." And he said, "The fact that you don't know it is one reason you're going to." But he said, "Brother Jack," he said, "I look at you. I don't see a pastor of a church like this. I see a pastor of a great church somewhere." Now, what am I saying? I'm saying Mr. Roper saw something I didn't see. You see, God planned that today I'd be standing here and you'd be sitting there, a great sea of faces, and God planned it that way. And Mr. Roper saw something I didn't see. Oh, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you something, young people. Let me tell you something, rescue mission men. Let me tell you something, ghetto children. Let me tell you something, little bus kids. There is a you that I see this morning, but there is also a you that I cannot see that God Almighty can see. There is that you that you can become. There is that you that God has planned for you to become. And there is that you that God sees that nobody else sees. And if you'll yield yourself to the will of God and the book of God and the Spirit of God, God can make you as He found Abraham Lincoln in that block of wood. God can find you, the you of the future, in the you of the present. God looked at that city. He looked at those walls that were crumpled and said, I love this, He said, "Thy walls are continually before me." God looked at a wicked Saul of Tarsus going to Damascus to slay Christians and persecute the people of God. But God not only saw Saul of Tarsus, God saw the Apostle Paul in that block of wood. God saw a man who had changed the history of the entire world and had been in the Mediterranean Sea with the gospel of Jesus Christ and changed the course of all human history. In that little old bug-eyed Jew with a squeaky voice, people saw a mean man and they saw, heard a squeaky voice and saw almost a blind man. But God said, thy greatness is ever before me. The churches that you're going to start are ever before me. The part of the Bible the Holy Spirit's going to allow you to write is ever before me. God looked down and saw an impetuous fisherman, Peter. And God saw that fisherman with all of his impatience. And God says, thy preaching on Pentecost is ever before me. And God saw in that little old fisherman, God saw something man could not see. And I've got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. You yield yourself to the Spirit of God, and you yield yourself to the will of God, and you'll be amazed what God can see in you and what God can make of you. I don't know about you, buddy, but I want to become all that God saw in me when I was a little boy in Texas. I want to find out what God saw in me. And I want to yield myself to the plan of God and the will of God. And I want to someday, with the grace of God, become that me that nobody saw but God Himself. God looked down and saw a shepherd lad. But He saw something besides the shepherd lad. He saw a king. He saw in that little lad herding a handful of sheep the greatest king that Israel would ever have. Now, where'd God see this? Now, here, this is the sweet part. Where'd God see it? Saw it in His hand. Saw it in His hand. He said, "You're engraven in my hand." Right there. In the hand of God. God looks down and sees through the scars of the nails of Calvary. God sees the me that He has in mind for me to become. When I was a paratrooper, all of the guys, we got our wings, and everybody went down to have a tattoo put right there, a parachute tattoo right there on the shoulder. No, I don't have one. I'll let you see it sometime and prove to you. Last night I dreamed I played on the high school basketball team. I dreamed that I went to the dressing room and put my uniform on. And by the way, I made the starting team too. It's my dream. I can play what I want to play. And but you should have seen me in that basketball outfit. Boy, it set it was something. But anyway, all our guys were going down, and right there they were having a tattoo right at the top of the shoulder. And so I went down, wanted to get a tattoo. But something kept me from it. I never did. Every other guy in our outfit had a parachute tattooed right there. I never did. But God has a tattoo. And by engraven, and you check that word in the original language, it means tattoo. And God has tattooed in His hand what He has in mind for you. But you say, "Brother Hyle, I'm just a poor young ghetto kid." Yeah, I know, but you ought to see the tattoo in the hand of God as He sees what you can become. But you say, "Preacher, I'm just a mission man, and my life has been ruined and wrecked." That doesn't matter. God has a dream for you. He has that you that He wants you to become, and He has tattooed right there in His hand, man. Right there in His hand. God has tattooed what He has in mind for you. God sees you. He doesn't see a guy laying on a bunk in a mission, rescue mission. God doesn't see that. God sees the you that you can become. And by the grace of God, there's not a person in this house for whom God does not have a tattoo in the palm of His hand, a picture of what you can be and what God wants you to be. And so God looks at that wall. He sees the wall crumple. That giant wall that once protected the city is now down. No stone hardly upon a stone. And God sees it and He says, "Thy walls are continually before me in the palm of His hand." Years ago, I heard Dr. John Rice tell this story of how he started preaching. Somebody asked him, "Dr. Rice, how did you start preaching?" Dr. Rice said, "I was leading the singing. I was a young man, just a young man, leading the singing for an evangelist, country evangelist." He said, "We went to a certain place for revival." "Why?" He said, "We had a great revival." You know, you can see him now. "We had a blessed revival. The hand of the Lord was there. He was a noble, good man." And he said, "A great revival." But he said, "The revival broke out in the last 2 or 3 days. And he said, "The evangelist said to me, 'Now, Brother John, we have another meeting starting next week, Monday. Now, but we can't stop this meeting, can we?'" And Dr. Rice said, "No, we can't stop this meeting." So the evangelist said, "Well, look, then you go on down the next meeting and get it started. And I'll stay here and finish this one." And Dr. Rice said, "Well, I'm not a preacher." And the old evangelist said, "Okay, you just tell him you're not a preacher." They probably could tell it anyway, but you just tell him. But go ahead and preach anyway. But Dr. Rice said, "I don't have any sermons." He said, "Okay, they'll find it out. You just tell them, I don't have any sermons, but you go ahead and start the meeting." And Dr. Rice said, he said, "Go ahead." And there's the young man, Dr. Rice, went down and started the meeting. And about a week later, the evangelist came and called up. He took over the meeting. Dr. Rice, "Glad that's over." Well, that meeting got going real good, and it's almost time to close, and it's about to break out. And the evangelist said,
this is a great meeting.
Yeah, it's a great meeting. He said, we better not close this meeting, have we? No, Dr. Rice, let's go on. He said, okay, we've got another meeting before we start next week. You go on up there. Dr. Rice said, I'm not a preacher. He said, just tell them you're not a preacher. Go ahead and tell them.
And Dr. Rice, and that's the way John Rice began. Now, how John Rice began? It began because some old evangelist, country preacher, looked at that young man but didn't see just that. He saw John R. Rice. He saw the great 20th century's mightiest pen. He saw citywide campaigns. Nobody else could see it, but he saw it. And God in His mercy looked down one day at me as a little old, timid, quiet, introverted, poor, poverty-stricken boy. And God said, I see more than that little boy. I see a pastor of a great church. I see a founder of a college. Nobody else saw it. I didn't see it. Nobody, my mama saw it, of course, but nobody else saw it. But God saw it.
You say, preacher, what do you say? I'm saying your whole secret is be like the block wire for the sculptor. Just yield yourself.
And a God who has double vision can make you from what you are now to what He has in mind that you become. God has double vision. Last night, this good man said, he said, when you hired Brother Ray Young, he said, well, I thought he was a fine young man. But he said, I thought there were fellows that were finer and had more potential. He said, what did you see in Ray Young? Nothing. Still don't. If you let me say this without being boastful, I believe God has given me, if I have one gift, I believe God has given me the discernment to see in people a little bit more than what is visible. And as I looked at Ray Young, I didn't see just a quiet, retiring young man. I saw a great servant of God. When I looked at Larry Bullard, I didn't see just a fella going around to the just to go to the service men and work with them, though that is vital. I saw something else. When I saw John Colston, I saw John Colston as a fine, steady man, but I saw something else. I passed by 22 years ago, just about now, passed by a couples class. Irma McKinney was teaching that couples class. Can you imagine Irma McKinney teaching a bunch of men? I can. And I stopped and heard her teach. And she was saying, now, the Bible says so, and this is what the Bible says. And I saw a beginner superintendent. And just a few days after that, I walked up and said, Mrs. McKinney, I see a beginner superintendent in you. You find me a better beginner superintendent in America than Irma McKinney. You just find it. You see, I saw something. And as God looks down this morning, God sees the you that sits in front of me. But God also sees the you He's planned for you to become. And if you will yield yourself, they may be an Abraham Lincoln inside that block. You just don't know. But as the sculptor looks at a piece of wood, before he ever starts it, he sees Abraham Lincoln on the inside. And as God looks at you this morning, God sees you, but inside of you, God's double vision sees what you could become. This untrue. You will never become that on your own. You never will. You'll have to yield to the divine sculpture. Now listen carefully, I'm through. It'll hurt sometimes as the chisel comes in. It'll hurt. And you may say, nothing's turned out right for me. I think I'll go home. Oh, hush. That's just the chisel chiseling on you, that's all. I mean, a block of wood can sit there and never have a chisel enter it.
and never be worth anything. But that block of wood can yield to the great sculptor. And let him chisel and whittle and chisel and chisel. And let the sparks fly and the hurt come.
One day, Abraham Lincoln shall come out. And if you'll yield yourself to him, look at me. The greatest preachers in this world have stood behind us.
Most famous sermon of this generation has been preached behind this pulpit three times. Payday Someday by R.G. Lee.
Anybody that heard R.G. Lee preach, anybody that heard him preach could look at him and understand his greatness.
It's obvious. Anybody can watch Lee Robertson walk in a room, understand his greatness. It's obvious.
Anybody can look at a John Rice and hear that old man as he used to teach the Bible, and as the Word of God jumped out at him and truths jumped out and grabbed the old man, and he shared them with the world by pen and by pulpit, and you could tell it was obvious. But as I sit across this country, explain me. Explain me. I used to wonder why God put me on the scene. One night in Kansas City about 15 years ago, I was the main speaker. The speakers before me were as follows. Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., Dr. Bob Jones, Jr., Dr. John Rice, Dr. Beecham Vick, Dr. Lee Robertson, and I was the main speaker. I looked at that program, and I said, what in the world? Who drew this stupid program up? I'm supposed to close the service out. And these giants of God on the same program, and I'm closing the service out. And I'll never forget that night. I went back to my room, and I said, dear Lord, why did you put me on center stage with so many great men? And then one day it dawned on me, God needed some little poor guy who didn't have one single natural talent, who was reared in poverty, to prove the Scripture. God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And Brother McElroy would be preaching on a Sunday morning, and I'd get nervous in church and start trembling like that. I mean, I was 9 and 10 and 11 and 12 years old, and my mother would take me out and say, son, what's wrong? And I'd say, I don't know what's wrong. I mean, honestly, I'd start crying like a baby would. I should have been in the nursery at 10, 11, 12. And my mother take me home and say, son, what's wrong? And I'd say, I don't know what's wrong, Mama. And all the people in the church saw little Jackie boy, little nervous, poor, barefooted kid. But God, in his wisdom, looked and saw that. But God said, First Baptist Church of Hammond is ever before me. Hiles Anderson College is ever before me. I never knew it, but he did. And the you that you're looking at today, whatever's good about it, or successful about it, has been caused because God saw what nobody else saw. And God sees another you inside of you today. Only to be what He wants me to be. Every moment of every day, yielded completely to Jesus alone. Every step of this pilgrim way. Ready just to be clay in the potter's hands. Ready to do what His Word commands. Only to be what He wants me to be. Every moment of every day. And the chisel will keep on chiseling. And one day, folks will see a you that they never saw, but that He always saw.